Welcome to the Comic Book Rundown.
Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. I'm your host, Joe, and with me today is my co-host, Ron.
Hello.
And special guest from the world's finest true believers, we have Chris.
How y'all doing? Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Thanks for coming on, man. I did reach out to you some months ago because you had started the podcast similar to ours, only in a longer form. Would you care to explain a little bit about what your podcast is and what all you do?
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, it's World's Finest True Believers. What we do is a guest comes on and they select either a comic book arc or a graphic novel from any publisher. And we kind of do a deep dive into the history behind it, the creators, and look at the whole arc in general. And so it was like you said, modeled after your show in a way, like you said, in a long form way. And, you know, you just recently dropped the episode you were on about the first volume of Lock and Key. And so that was a lot of fun because I'd never read that before and you got me hooked.
Yeah, it's one of those series where I tell everybody.
Oh, dude, they're fantastic.
Yeah, because it's such a wonderful wonderful series. So before we go too far into what we're reading today, Chris, would you mind giving the listeners your origin story, how you got into comics?
Oh, yeah, no. I've been into comics since I was a kid, but kind of had periods of time where I was really into it, then got out, then really again got out. But kind of what re-hooked me back in was when I was in college at UNC Chapel Hill and went in my first pickup was Identity Crisis. And since then, went into for years and years and years recollecting single issues and basically didn't know when to stop. And at one point, got married. The closest comic book shop was about 30 to 45 minutes away. So add that all into it. So then no longer a single issue collector, more of a trades and collections collector. So thankfully, it's been a lot more affordable in some ways.
No kidding.
But yeah, I'm a big DC, big Marvel, big independent. I mean, my loyalties are all, and you write a good story, I'll be interested to read it.
That's I'm right there with you. Here lately, it's been, for me, it's if you got a good story, I'm gonna read it. I mean, I'm still a DC fan. This podcast is definitely drawing me more into the Marvel because we've done a lot more Marvel.
Yeah,
but we've also had like 20 years to catch up to where DC's at, so we've got a lot more Marvel to hit. All the independents that we have, like Lock and Key being from IDW. Grim Fairy Tales from Zenoscope. Walking Dead from Image. Like, if it's a good story, I'm going to read it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We got some, when we went down to Indiana Comic Con, we got some stories off of just some vendors. I don't know if it's self-published or... smaller publishing company that I know we're going to hit next year. I definitely hit that nest. That looks, looks fun. Jay, if you're listening, we're going to get you on here. I promise. So today, Chris, you are joining us because we are reading Daredevil. We're going back to some Daredevil books. We are reading issues 54 through 58. They were published by Marvel in 1969.
Nice.
Yep. Just wait on that. Actually, I already have that written down. You'll have to look up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, damn. So what am I doing here at all?
I don't know. The writer is Roy Thomas. Art was done by Gene Colan. Inks were done by George Klein and Sid Shores. And then the letters were done by Artie Simic and Sam Rosen. If you'd like to go check out our previous coverage of Daredevil, go listen to episodes 91 through 96.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, we're going to. You are on here the last time.
I kind of flipped through the ones before this because when I started reading this, I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
You didn't listen to the episodes?
Eh.
I'm not going to lie. Those Daredevil issues were kind of meh when I read them. These were kind of meh when we read them, but we'll get into that here as the episodes progress.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I read the first issue, say, okay, let me read this first issue, see if I can gather what's going on, and thankfully I was able to gather what's going on because I didn't know how far back I needed to go.
Honestly, the issues I grabbed before, I just grabbed them because it was the last six. Like, okay, this is a decent starting out point. It picks up on a story that's already... It may have been the beginning of something new. I don't remember. But it introduced Star Saxon, who, in the last, well, two issues, found out that Matt Murdock was Daredevil, and then was going to reveal his identity to the world if he did not release him from being captured. So Daredevil was
like, wait a minute. There's someone that Matt Murdock hasn't revealed his secret to that no one knows?
Right.
I say at this point in time, I thought nobody knew except for
not even the superheroes knew at this point. At this point, in the future, it's literally like, oh look, I'm Daredevil. Here, let me show you. And then in the TV show, tries to keep.
I don't have
secret.
My mask on.
But yeah, so at the last, very last episode, issue 53, Daredevil, we had like a little. Recap of his origin story, and after we did the recap, he decided, all right, I have to get rid of Matt Murdock, because that's the logical choice for whatever reason.
Every superhero freaking does that.
They do.
It's like, man, should I choose my normal life or my superhero life?
Yeah.
Superhero life. Sorry, normal dude, you're adios.
Yeah.
Then they forget that one little small piece. How am I making money to live?
Yep. Yep. It didn't work so well for Batman. Didn't work for Superman. Didn't work for Captain America.
You pull about 10% off the top of everything you're saving.
Oh, we're going to get into that here. I've got some things to say about all of that. So let's go ahead and hop into this first issue 54.
All right.
And like I said, in the last issue, Daredevil had just convinced himself he's going to kill off Matt Murdock.
Dude, so he should have brought back the yellow and red suit, because
that yellow and red suit was kind of
vibrant. it was very
That's when he was not only blind, but he was colorblind. So,
who dressed you, a blind dude? Hey, fuck you guys.
Oh yeah, Chris, we can. you can cuss all you want. You're explicit.
Fine. After our first episode with me, he had to tag it explicit. So
I tried to, and it took me a while to remember. Oh wait, I can do this instead of have to tag it every time individually. I can do it overall. So, but okay. So we actually open up, and then we've got a newspaper on, I think, Foggy's desk that says. DA's ex-partner killed in plane crash. So automatically we've got Matt Murdock dead.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Karen here, all sad and distraught. Every time she thinks of Matt, for whatever reason, she thinks of Daredevil. which is another thing. In the last couple issues, it almost looked like she figured out that Matt was Daredevil.
But then she remembered she was blonde.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but okay, sure. So yeah, she's just wandering around the office. She thinks that if she works, that it'll take her mind off of what's going on. And in comes Foggy. He apparently had the same idea, but it's not working for either one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's their best friend.
Like, yeah, I mean, exactly. It's Foggy who is right-hand man, and I mean... everyone goes through grief in a different way, but Karen's taking it seems like harder than Foggy is.
Well, yeah, because she loved Matt. Like, she was in love with Matt. And it was almost going to be one of those things where she had disappeared for a while, came back, and I think they were going to get back together, like, actually as a couple, and maybe Matt wanted to propose to her. And then he died. Quote, unquote, died. Because in comes... Daredevil climbing up a rope
climbing down a rope.
No, is he climbing down?
Yeah, he was coming down from this roof.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going.
And he's like,
up.
Damn, I missed my billy club.
Yeah. And he goes to the office because that's where it last was. And as he comes in, he notices that Karen is holding his cane, which houses his billy club.
Excuse me, miss, you've got your hand on my cane.
Oh, Jesus.
I have to say, relating to the Daredevil movie, I did like the idea of the switching between the devil and the angel. That I thought was always a cool thing with this one.
Yes, I agree with that. I really enjoyed the Ben Affleck Daredevil movie. It wasn't the best, but it for what it was in 2003,
It's what we had, and we that's all we had.
Exactly. The TV show is great. I really like Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock and Daredevil. But really sad that it ended. Hopefully Disney will pick it back up, or somebody will pick it up.
And you know what? If it doesn't, we have those three seasons, which you know, we did everything we needed, and then we can go back to the comics and see what's next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we go back to Karen, and she's, you know, surprised that Daredevil's there, and Daredevil's trying
to... Can I have that cane? It's for sentimental reasons. She's like, fuck you, dude. I was in love with him. And he's like...
Yeah, he's like, it just came off kind of strange. It's just like, I want him. I want the cane for my own sentimental reasons. Like, huh?
he says, for private matters. Is he going to shove that cane up his ass? I honestly don't know what the hell he's going to do with that. But, yeah, she says, no, I kind of need it for... You know, this is all I have left of Matt.
Because she's planning on shoving it up her own, so...
Oh.
I mean,
it still smells whatever. Like Matt.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. So Daredevil laments. He's like, okay, fine, I get it. And so Karen leaves. So he's jumping around, following her in the taxi over the rooftop. And after she goes to bed, she decides...
Giggity.
Anyway.
He decides he's going to slip in there. And
he's going to go grab the cane, which... So now he's... Yes, it's his property, but he's stealing from the woman he loves.
And like, we never see a reference point after this of, like, I lost the cane. I don't know who could have grabbed it.
Right?
It's just one of those things like, man, you made it really obvious that you're going to take it back. Yes, you need it, but you just made yourself the number one person of taking it back. So now she's going to hate you even more.
What you would think.
Yeah, but we never revisit it.
Exactly.
She completely says, okay, it must have been not that sentimental as she thought it was.
Or maybe she thought she misplaced it.
Maybe after she was done with it that night, before she got really tired after using it, she just didn't think on it again.
This is why I have an explicit tag.
We've taken a deep, dark turn to Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she said.
Oh, yeah. So,
anyways,
we get a quick flashback onto how Matt killed himself.
Dude, okay.
This...
With a black fright wig. What the fuck is a black fright wig?
That.
Boogity boogity boo.
I don't know. Well, here's the funny thing I get is that he goes into this with Airfield, talks to this guy saying, hey, you know, I'm piloting this plane. Here's my license. And the whoever this guy is doesn't look up and see, oh, wait, this guy can't release. He looks like he's blind. I mean, yeah, Matt's eyes are in shadow, so you really can't tell, but aren't most blind people, like, don't they have, like, cataracts on their eyes?
No.
Do they not?
No.
Do they look like normal? I honestly do not know.
I have no idea, so I don't even know how to...
Okay.
Think about somebody, and, like, while they're, you know, they should be focusing on things, instead they're just kind of eyes in the distance.
Hmm.
But... If you think about it, Matt would know where to focus his eyes because he's got his Daredevil sense.
Okay. Well, let's skip past that part then, because apparently I'm wrong, but just whatever.
I like where he's talking about this, where he's like, everything's in order, pal. I hope you don't think my pilot license is a phony.
I didn't
before, but thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah.
Again, don't say five words, just say four. Don't draw attention to yourself.
And then he's like, well, you know, Matt Murdock's the one that sent in the check. Why isn't he coming in here to fly it?
Because
he's blind, dumbass.
Which,
papers?
Yeah, I was like, Matt Murdock is famous for being
lawyer.
A blind lawyer.
Yeah.
You would think everybody everywhere would know. Especially, they're probably what? Not that far outside of New York City? Or wherever, Hell's Kitchen, wherever Matt likes to...
Well, that's still New York.
Yeah, but that's a borough, whatever. But, like, even that, he's a famous blind lawyer. That right there is a stick that everybody will jump on. Everybody knows.
Like, Karen with his cane.
Stop it. I left you wide open for that one, I'm sorry.
But anyway. So, here you've got him putting Matt Murdock into the plane.
Yeah,
this dummy. Okay, I'd just like to point out first off that he's like, from this angle, it'll look like I'm just helping a blind dude into the... And it's like, no, it looks like you're dragging a drunk guy into the fucking
plane.
Or
a dead body.
Yeah, I was about to say a dead body more than anything.
But then he also has this bomb that he brings up in this plane and sets it for 15 minutes so that he can get as high as he can in 15 minutes and then jump out dressed up as Daredevil, which I'm surprised no one saw somebody flying through the air by itself, you know, without the plane or without a parachute. Also, at the same time, how high is he up that he can jump out of the plane
and hit the water and not turn into a pancake? Right?
The reason comics.
Yes. Comic
Thank
logic.
Thank you. Comic logic. Yep. That's what we always pin it on.
Mm-hmm. Or comic science or comic whatever. But Matt Murdock is now a criminal because he just blew up a plane. He just cost somebody taxpayer dollars.
Actually, no. This is a private one. So he probably just cost some rich dude, you know. Mm. Oh, shucks.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it probably, what we didn't know was actually Kingpin's plane, so it's just basically a middle finger to Kingpin.
There we
go. That could work. I like that. But that gave him his alibi to you know, now Matt Murdock is dead, and now Daredevil can go do whatever the hell he wants.
In this picture where he's sleeping, though, where the hell is he sleeping at?
It's a good idea. Didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So, anyways, he found a place to shack up for the night where they didn't recognize A, Matt Murdock, or B, Daredevil coming in and out of.
Yeah.
And,
well, that's no different than when when we did the Captain America issues, he was walking in and out of the hotel.
Yeah.
And dressed up as Captain America. Yeah. Like,
This isn't Comic-Con? My bad.
Yeah.
It's Halloween every day.
There we go. We get the obligatory Spider-Man shot. You want to comment on that at all, Mr. Spider-Man fan?
Okay, so he comes in, Daredevil comes in, he's flying around beating these guys up, and Spider-Man's like, "Hey, Hornhead, you blundering into my fight?" And he's like, "Wait, what? Spider-Man? I didn't even notice you here. I was so happy-go-lucky, you know."
Didn't know you had a franchise wall crawler.
Yeah. And then he sings on his way by.
Ta-ta!
I do have to say, though, I really don't like that bottom picture of Spider-Man.
With his eyes closed? Actually, no, they're just
squinting. Red. But no. With the way that his head's ducked down into his shoulders.
Oh, okay.
This is Cro-Magnon Spider-Man.
and also, it's just like, wait a minute, I didn't recognize you here. Wait a minute, both of you have, like, heightened senses.
Yeah, right?
Whatever. Exactly. It's just like, what do you mean you didn't notice?
That's somebody not paying attention. So then Matt... Oh, no, I was going to say he steals the paper, but he does drop a couple coins off.
Yeah.
But here's the thing I don't understand. So Matt grabs a paper, and he's able to read it
by touching it through his gloves.
Through his gloves, but that ink is not raised as far as I know, right?
No.
Yeah, so...
I mean, wait. This is in the 60s, though, so it would actually go through a printing press where they actually press the letters down into the papers.
That's a good point.
So it's a possibility that it would be a bit abrased where he'd be able to...
Okay, I didn't think about that. What the paper says, though, is that Mr. Fear challenges Daredevil. I didn't know there was a character called Mr. Fear, and when I see him, he definitely looks like a jank Taskmaster.
Yes, that's exactly who I thought it was. Yeah.
But apparently Mr. Fear has been around for some time, but he knows who Mr. Fear is, a guy named Zoltan Drago. So what Mr. Fear is doing, he apparently paid for a TV spot. So
must have been PBS.
I just like it that the bad guy actually paid for a spot instead of just jumping on and saying, "I'm taking over, put all cameras on me." It's like, wow, it's a really honest dealing bad guy.
Sure everything was kosher, so when he showed up, he didn't get arrested.
That's smart to do, honestly. The other thing is that he is saying that, you know, I've got $100,000 in trust for charities of the city. If Daredevil accepts my hurled gauntlet, from the sounds of it, all Daredevil has to do is just show up
and fight him without running away.
Well, he
says, "I shall prove tomorrow that the man without fear is a craven coward."
Okay, but he doesn't say that he has to fight him. All he says is that if Daredevil shows up, I'll give a charity $100,000.
Like, seriously, who is this bad guy? Like,
if he's that rich, why are you being a bad guy?
Well, it's not even that. Again, it's like he's giving away money.
Then again, Lex Luthor was, you know, Superman's
that's
probably
true.
Most famous
Good
villain. He's
Good
rich
point.
As hell.
Mm-hmm. Got to keep up the image.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But Luthor was never doing anything to steal money, was he? He was always just trying to take
that
over.
That you know of. That the public
enough.
Knows of.
Fair enough.
He has schemes upon schemes.
Uh-huh.
His latest stuff in the current books are... I'm still trying to catch up on all that.
Give it all away.
Yeah, well, he did do... He gave everything away, and then he blew himself up and then became Apex Lex, and...
I'm sorry, he became what? Did you say Apex Lex?
Yep.
Yes.
That's his name.
Brainiac and Lex combined.
Oh, not only that, but he also got Martian Manhunter
too. Oh, yes.
Too.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll explain off mic.
Okay, yeah. Let's not do that.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, obviously.
Uh-huh. So, because it's a big spectacle, we have crowds show up. We have cops kind of holding up crowds.
I touched him.
Daredevil comes wandering in. And then Mr. Fear comes flying in on this little disc.
Hubcap.
Well, that's what Daredevil calls it.
Uh-huh.
He comes and grabs Daredevil in the nice little
choker hold.
Yep. And goes flying off of them. The fighting ensues. Yada, yada, yada. That's what it is.
Daredevil gets zapped with a Repello Ray.
I love the names of these gadgets in the 60s.
What exactly does a Repello Ray do?
It repels you.
Oh.
Away.
Right into the bear enclosure.
Well, he was falling into that, but then he did some...
midair somersaults and quick flips that...
gets him into the water.
Redirected him, yeah.
I don't know if it's still in the polar
One
bear.
One thing I need to throw out here, though...
What's that?
If you look at the bear on the page where Daredevil's upside down doing his flips and stuff... Why the fuck does he have a flipper instead of a claw?
Are you sure it's a bear, not a seal?
Oh, is this, but then why is his flipper split like a tail instead of a flipper?
I don't know.
A lot of shadows.
Yeah, maybe there's two of them in there. You've seen the end of one seal and the other, and the beginning of another.
All right, anyways. Who knows? That's some good drawing there.
1970s drawing. What do you expect? 69 drawing.
69. Nice.
There you go.
Sploosh.
So... Daredevil grabs his billy club and tries to rappel up to Mr. Fear. And Mr. Fear is just like, hey, I may not have my fear pellets, but I will definitely fill you with a frenzied fear with a mere gesture.
And then he gave him the finger.
Well, he points at him.
Oh, God damn it.
And how dare you point at me? That's my weakness. You point at me.
Yeah, for whatever reason... Daredevil is now filled with fear. He has this tingling sensation. Stop it.
I didn't even say anything. Damn.
You had that look.
One finger gave him a tingling sensation.
Yep.
What can I say?
And then Daredevil just realizes that he's kind of dizzy, and he's starting to feel dizzy, and he realizes how high he is, and he lets go, and he starts falling. You know, hits a tree to kind of save him.
Yeah, I like
fall.
That. The branch saved me from, you know, hurting myself. But if you slammed into a branch even coming down like that, you're going to, you know.
But at the same time, we also saw him jump who knows how far from a plane into the water and get out
true.
Of that.
Very, maybe he had a quarter in front of him that he threw in the water to break the surface first.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's the surface of the water. Once you break the surface, that's why, like, actual people that jump off that stuff like will throw something down first, and when it breaks the flat surface of the waters when they
You know how much I love swimming, so
yeah
that's sarcasm for anybody who doesn't know. I don't know how to swim.
He's terrified of water.
I'm not terrified of water.
He
I
won't even get
swim.
In the kiddie pool.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, that last part was a lie.
But what happens is Daredevil gets onto the ground.
And everybody's like, man, what a pussy.
Yeah, we start seeing the crowd kind of disperse and kind of like almost looks like they're shunning him.
I just like it like one bad incident. It's like, oh, screw you. I don't want it. You're worthless now. It's like, well, geez.
That's what happens to all of them, though. Like, I mean, look at, you know, well, for instance, Spider-Man, you know, he does all these things to save the city and they're like, yay, we love you. And then there's this one time where he was like, man, I dropped a brick and it hit somebody's car and set off the car alarm and their insurance wouldn't cover it. Now the whole city hates me. Thanks, JJ.
Well,
and he becomes then he's created a villain because of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Iron Man.
I am Brick Man.
I said, even as far back as our own podcast, he the bricks get dropped on
Stacy,
everybody thinks that
it's all Spider-Man's fault.
Yep, even though it was Doc Ock. God, those episodes were bad. We need to redo those episodes, I think.
Yeah, we probably should.
Maybe. But that's really how we end. Let's focus on these episodes where that's how we end this issue with Daredevil now in shame.
The coward that he is.
The man without fear has fear.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you enjoyed listening to Chris, please check out World's Finest True Believers on all major podcasting apps. You can find him on Twitter at Finest Believers, or you can send your emails to worldsfinesttruebelievers@gmail.com. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send your emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with more to this Daredevil story arc.